Today's podcast is brought to you by PIRN, the Pokemon Internet Radio Network, streaming music all day, every day, from the Pokemon games, anime, and more. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 169 episode of the Pokemon Podcast. 169.
Oh, man.
Clove, it's already a classic show. Today on It's Super Effective, we have Travis.
Yeah, with all these Kickstarter guests, it's probably a good time to show the listeners a little inside baseball about the show. What a lot of people don't know is that, you know, you might think that I'm on the show all the time because either Steve likes me or the listeners do. Neither of that's true. I'm just paying Steve week in and week out to be able to appear on your shoveling hundreds and hundreds of dollars Steve's way. Just,
you're so desperate for your voice to be heard.
So desperate to have this audience.
I didn't even introduce myself. My name is SBJ. I don't know if I did that or not. I dropped the ball here. Hopefully there's a lot of new listeners, and hopefully this isn't your first It's Super Effective, but if it is, this is a train wreck of a show normally. We have a Kickstarter guest with us today.
Hey!
We have this new pattern of making people pay. Yeah. We had great success with that with Travis here, so we have Dallas here with us today.
Hey guys, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Travis.
Is there a mother Pokemon? Because I want to make a joke, but I mean, happy Kangaskhan Day, I suppose.
Oh yeah,
that's
there
a
you
solid
go.
One. I feel like my voice is very scratchy today. Yeah. I feel like maybe it's this microphone or whatnot, but I apologize if my voice is scratchy in advance. Dallas is here with us today. Hopefully, obviously you pledged a sum of money to be here, so you must enjoy our show to some extent.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was really stoked when I saw that Kickstarter pop up and what the prizes were. And I had to jump on that right away.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to shoot a couple questions your way just before we get into things. The listeners probably know Travis and myself's history by now, but they probably don't know yours. Dallas, when did you first start listening to It's Super Effective?
I think it was about 3 months before X and Y. I was just looking for stuff to listen to at work. I had gotten into Pokemedia at that time. I was like watching a lot of Pokemon YouTube stuff. Mm. And I had nothing to do while I was filing at work. So I opened up Stitcher on my, I was one of the people listening on Stitcher. Opened that up on my phone and found this podcast and started listening to all the episodes. And I've gone back and I think I've listened to most of the backlog by this point too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We both go there.
Oh, it's regrettable.
No, those were great.
Were you honest answer here, were you impressed when you first started listening, or was it like, this is okay, I'm just gonna kind of keep going with it?
Oh no, super impressed, because there were like a couple other podcasts that were on there, and I loved this one the most. Like that this one I got excited to see when it popped up for a new episode.
Oh, that's awesome.
And also, I didn't know much about Pokemon. I still don't know that much. And I did learn some stuff from this. I know that people give you crap for missing certain facts, but I still learned something.
We still believe that Quicklaw is one of the best competitive items here on the show.
It is, yeah. Oh, it definitely is. And the Focus Band.
I heard Dreamweaver is a very good move.
Yep.
For Gengar, well, the Dreamweaver is a good move for Gengar. Is that what the sentence was?
Yeah. Dallas, when did you? What's your favorite Pokemon?
Chandelure, and I think I share that one with you, Steve. Right?
Yeah. My favorite Pokemon's always changing, but Chandelure is always in that rotation.
Yeah, it might have been between like Chandelure and Heracross, but Chandelure has been my favorite for the last, like, since X and Y came out. Yeah.
Those are some good Pokemon.
Yeah, very solid Pokemon.
I think that I choose my favorite Pokemon based on what gives me the most trouble, and I think that Chantal had a Chandelure in Black or Black 2, and it had Energy Ball, and that threw me through a loop, and I lost like 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
Because, and I was like, okay, Chandelure is obviously like the best. And so I, because I keep losing to this thing. And I like its design and stuff. And
that's awesome.
It's pretty sick looking.
What's your favorite Pokemon game?
This is a tough one. It's either X and Y or HeartGold SoulSilver.
Both good choices. Both good choices.
But I think X and Y ekes out a little bit in front.
Yeah.
So I think X and Y is my favorite game.
Final question. What is your favorite Pokemon spinoff game before we get into the show here?
Pokemon Shuffle.
Ah, another Shuffle lover.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm way early into Shuffle, and so like I'm just at the point where I'm starting to get frustrated with the game, but it's my favorite. And I never really played too many other spinoff games. Like, I think I played Mystery Dungeon for like 12 minutes.
It's and then so I stopped. Good.
Like somebody let me borrow it.
Not a minute longer.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I haven't played the third one, but apparently the third one's bad, but Mystery Dungeon 2 in particular is, I would say, I like Mystery Dungeon 2 more than I like Pokemon Black 2, White 2.
Really?
Like, that's how much I like Mystery Dungeon 2. I mean, my favorite Pokemon game is HeartGold, SoulSilver, and I really love X and Y as well, and Black and White. But if I were to rank them, including Mystery Dungeon 2 in the list, it would not be at the bottom. It would not be below all the main series games.
Wow.
Mystery Dungeon 2 blew me away.
Maybe I gotta take another crack at him. Because, yeah, that's the one with the personality test, right?
Right.
Or is that something? Yeah, so, like, I took that test, and I forget what I even got. But I was like, okay, I just spent the first however long filling out paperwork and kind of done with it.
I got Meowth when I took the personality test, and then I looked it up later. And when you're playing as a boy character, if you get you get Meowth, that means that that your answers were sassy, which is me,
sassy Travis.
That makes sense. I'm so glad when I found that out. And since Meowth has become one of my favorite Pokemon because of playing it in that game.
Nice.
Travis, are you a cat lover or are you a dog lover?
I am more partial to dogs than I am to cats. I'm allergic to cats, so that doesn't really help.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair. All right, guys, so got a pretty good show for you guys today. We have a bit of news articles ranging from a series of topics, and then our middle segment will be focused on a more in-depth of Dallas's thoughts on Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, and maybe even some X and Y stuff, because it's all kind of fairly new. Of course, there is been no new dramatic Pokemon news lately. There are a couple articles that popped up, but no new game. You heard it here first. No new game announced yet. but before we dive into news, how was your guys' weekends? Let's start with Travis.
Oh, what did I even do this weekend?
It's been such a blur.
Okay. And now I remember. It was literally yesterday and today. Pretty good, pretty relaxing. I have some time off right now, so I took I took the opportunity to reinstall and play Guild Wars 1, like the first Guild Wars game, because that game doesn't have a subscription fee, so the character, like the account I still had from middle school or high school, I don't remember which is correct, but still up there, so I could still play that game. There's actually people who still play it. There were other people.
That's awesome.
Which astonished me. So that was a bit of a blast from the past, but I put that in for a few spins.
Sweet. Dallas, anything exciting happened to you over the past weekend?
Well, I got my booster box for the new TCG set, and I opened that up and put that in a little video and stuff like that. So I got a
Roaring Skies, I believe.
Roaring Skies. I got the booster box, the Elite Trainer box, and I think some code cards. So I've been just kind of working my way through that stuff. Then I just kind of played Skyrim for a while. And we're getting real close to finals, so starting to think about studying about for that, but
you know, it's baby steps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Nothing thrilling on my end. I drove down to Chicago this past week, and I took a coding class down in Chicago. It was like a one night kind of 4-hour class, which was pretty cool. Ooh. And then I've kind of been studying up on some code. All the code I know and everything up to this point has just been self-taught, as you can see from the various Pokemon podcast websites that have existed. But yeah, I'm just trying to get a little bit better at that. So no Destiny, no Hearthstone, no wrestling. It was just, nice. It was like not having a weekend and learning stuff.
You can code your own Destiny.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It actually wasn't the worst thing in the world. I didn't learn that much at the class I went to, which was both good and bad. It was a little disappointing that I only learned like maybe like a half hour worth of content out of the 4 hours of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was also like reassuring that there was a bunch of other people there and I knew a lot more than them. And so that was like a good feeling.
Yeah.
But I walked away from the class being more excited to learn. Whereas like, I feel like if I didn't go, I would have like just wasted my weekend again instead of like trying to learn. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. Everyone's probably like, oh, get to the Pokemon stuff. Well, here's the Pokemon stuff. Let's jump right into some news. And the first bit of news is Pokemon Shuffle has another update. Travis saw this coming, I know. There is now a Pinsir Daily event.
It's been prophesied.
There's a Pinsir Daily event that a lot of people are actually up in arms about because it's a little bit difficult. So from May 7th to May 11th, actually by the time you might be listening to this, it'll be the last day for Pinsir. You are able to capture Pinsir if you're able to defeat him. The catch is that you only get one chance a day.
Mm-hmm.
So really you only have five days to catch Pinsir. And if you miss it, you miss it.
Oof.
Now Pinsir is not too difficult. They give you 16 moves to take him out. But if you do get like an A or an S rank, you're still only going to get a capture rate of 13 to 17%. So that's pretty low. So yeah, they added Pinsir. And then in other news regarding to Pokemon Shuffle, the Mega Bayonet tournament ended. And so the top 20,000 people in the United States would have got Mega Stones for Bayonet. I completely forgot about the event, and I didn't get my Mega Stone, so that was a little disappointing.
Oh,
but it's all right. I haven't been playing Shuffle as much as I used to, just because I've hit through all the stages, so I'm a little burnt out. But I've been playing for at least Mega. I've been playing for at least Pinsir and the weekend Meowths.
Okay.
So now,
yeah, I haven't done any of those things.
Yeah, every Saturday and Sunday Meowth comes, all you're doing is matching coins, and it gives you a bunch of coins. Usually, you can walk away with like 1,000 or 2,000 coins for free.
So for the thing like I tried Pinsir and I just couldn't do it. Is there like, do you need to get good at Shuffle before you do those things and like have a bunch of things leveled up? Because I think my highest levels right now are like 3.
Yeah, I think with Pinsir the main thing is just the levels of Pokemon.
Okay.
Most of my Pokemon are level 6 or 7.
Okay.
I took out Pinsir in about 9 moves.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't even get close. Like I've been trying to catch Torchic and I can't get him, and yeah.
What's the level cap?
The level cap is level 10.
Mm.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to get to level 3, and then it's kind of a grind after that.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a bit of a bummer, but I'm not sure if anything's coming after Pinsir goes away. I'm sure there is, but It's cool that they're trying different things. Like the Safari Zone was like 5 random Pokemon. You don't know what you're getting before you go in, so it's kind of hard to pick a team. Pinsir is like a once a day kind of thing. Meowth is only on the weekend, so they're really giving people incentive to play the game every day. And none of this is paid content. This is all something that comes for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pokemon Shuffle.
You mentioned people were a little angry about Pinsir. Was it because of the low chance to capture it, even if you performed really well?
Yeah, that's what the most people were upset about, was that most things in Pokemon Shuffle, you can just do it over and over again. But with Pinsir, once you do it, he disappears for the day. So
right.
A lot of people are getting nervous with Pinsir ending tomorrow and they haven't been able to catch him. And the whole like up in arms is like, we don't know when Pinsir's coming back. Just like, I don't know when Mega Banette's coming back because I missed that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
on to more positive news. Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire has... just edged itself towards 10 million units.
Wow.
So there was software sales recap here. Mario Kart 7 sitting at 11.7 million units. Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, 9.94 million. New Super Mario Brothers 2, 9.16. Animal Crossing New Leaf, 8.9 million. Super Smash Brothers for 3DS, 6.75 million. Surprisingly, Tomodachi Life, 4.14 million.
What?
Majora's Mask, 2 million. And Kirby's Triple Deluxe, 1.78 million. You're probably asking why Pokemon X and Y is not on this list. I'm not sure why either, but Pokemon X and Y has sold 13 million units to date.
Mm-hmm.
So Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire catching up.
Yeah. But what's weird is that...
I doubt it'll be able to... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. What's weird is that Tomodachi Life has outsold Majora's Mask.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
What?
I don't know if it's... Maybe Zelda fans are just very vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
But with the success of Animal Crossing, I feel like Tomodachi Life fits up there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And haven't there been like 20 remakes of Majora's Mask? I mean, maybe it's just because I really don't like Zelda, but it seems like those games are getting remade every weekend.
Yeah, so came out on Nintendo 64.
They had it on the...
And then it had the...
And they had it in like a collector's
thing, the Master Collection remake for GameCube.
Yeah.
And then this version. So this would be the third version of Majora's Mask.
Oh, so it wasn't on the Wii as well? For some reason I had that in my head.
It might have been in Virtual Console.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Actually, yeah, I don't think so either. I think the first one was Ocarina of Time.
They're all the same game to me.
Let me tell you how it works, Travis. You go into a dungeon and you get the item of the dungeon, and then you beat the boss with that item.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into another dungeon and then you get that item. And then it's rinse and repeat.
You forget the part where you ceaselessly push blocks around for an hour and a half. That's my favorite part of Legend of Zelda. My gosh. I'm going to make so many people miss
it. I really like A Link Between Worlds. I really like that game. That was pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm way into it. I've almost beaten that game, and I just can't. But yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, I got to about like four or three dungeons left, but I fell off.
So did you like buy all the items from that dude or something? Like there's a thing where if you die you lose all your items or something like that, and I remember
no I didn't do that. I was playing a lot during when I was visiting Irene's parents. So there was really nothing to do besides play DS, and then as soon as I got back home, that's when I fell off. I mean, I could have spent time with the family, but
that's such an insight into
I was on a family trip too when I downloaded it.
That's really funny. Let's see what else we got here. Oh yes, okay. GameStop is going to be distributing Dragonite on June 22nd. So between June 22nd and July 12th, GameStops will receive codes from Nintendo. You're able to unfortunately walk into GameStop and retrieve one of those codes, and that will get you a level 55 Dragonite with Dragon Dance, Extreme Speed, Outrage, and Hurricane.
Sweet.
You might be asking why is GameStop giving away Dragonite?
Yeah.
They are actually promoting the new TCG set, Roaring Skies, which is mostly Dragon-type Pokemon.
Oh.
It looks like GameStop will also be selling a special pack of cards that will include a Dragonite pin.
Ooh.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I want that part of it.
Dragonite is such an interesting Pokemon in terms of its stats. It's always... Because you... I mean, you expect it to be slow because of how it looks, but... Because
it's a little chub-chub.
Yeah. But I suppose you don't really expect that out of the first dragon type that was introduced in the game. You expect it to be this, like a glass cannon or something. And it, you know, it has that 4x ice weakness. So in some senses, it's...
Yeah.
I mean,
a little weak defensively, but the slowness of it always takes me by surprise.
This article is interesting because at the end it says that not a lot of people like when GameStop puts out the flyers with the codes. But prior to this, you used to be able just to walk in or even stand outside of GameStop and just connect to their hub.
Mm-hmm.
The glory days.
Yep.
Apparently that some employees refuse to give anyone the download codes unless they pre-order something.
What?
Whoa.
That's not okay.
Yeah, this is definitely not okay. So if you go into a GameStop and they're forcing you to pre-order something to get your Dragonite code, they're not supposed to do that. And please let us know, because we'll make sure we'll vocalize which stores are doing this.
Yeah, totally.
So do they get paid
by commission or something? Is that why they're doing that?
GameStops don't get paid by... I actually used to work at a GameStop. They don't get paid by commission. They get paid hourly, and it's a terrible hourly rate. It's minimum wage. But their hours, the amount they get to work is based on how many pre-orders they sell.
Oh, that's gross.
So when you first start at GameStop, you're given 2 4-hour shifts. I mean, they could have changed. I worked at GameStop a long time ago, but from my understanding, it's pretty similar. You get 2 4-hour shifts for 2 weeks, and you have to hit a certain, like, not a quota, but you're supposed to pre-order, I think, one game an hour is what it comes down to. So if you don't do that, you go down to 1 4-hour shift. Oof. And then if you do a lot of pre-orders, that's when you start getting like your 20 to 40 hour weeks, because you're one of the top people who sell people on pre-orders or the Game Informer subscriptions. That's also another thing.
This information is like poison unto my soul. It's so disgusting.
Yeah. That's really gross.
Yeah. It's almost worse than commission.
Yeah, it's way worse.
Because commission, at least if you're not trying to sell anything, you're not getting a paycheck. Here, if you're not trying to sell anything, you're just not going to be able to work.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Ugh.
That's really bad.
Those poor people. For
GameStop employees.
So Dragonite's at GameStop, though. We can...
Yeah, so you can get your Dragonite at GameStop, Russian, starting June 22nd.
I just want to pre-order everything, because I feel so bad for this.
Right?
Yeah. Usually when I walk in and they're trying to do the pre-order spiel, I always say, like, I used to work at a GameStop, and they, like, immediately stop the spiel, and they're like, oh, okay, like, have a great day. They know what's up. I'm trying to think if there was any other Pokemon news, but I don't think so. Really, the last bit of Pokemon news that isn't really related to Pokemon is Pokebeach. We reported on this last week. They took their website down for a week. They have revamped their website. It's brand new. They have a 18-minute video, Pokemon Water Master, explaining the history and why it took so long, and it was 3 years in the making. You know, all that stuff. The interesting thing about Pokebeach that I wanted to report on was that they are now doing more of a focus on deck list and paid articles. So this was something that Six Prizes, which was a very popular TCG site, they would have a bunch of deck lists, but when it came close to tournament time or new cards came out, there was always articles that you had to pay $15 a month for to read that had more deck lists.
Mm-hmm.
It's a...
Was the Top Cut like that too?
No, Top Cut was never like that. Top Cut was more on just reporting footage of people playing. It was they were really big on just streaming games. They weren't
tournament results too, right?
Yeah, they were very big on tournament results and streaming. Six Prizes was very big on deck list and hiding those deck lists behind a paywall. And now it looks like Poke Beach has jumped on that bandwagon. Which is, I mean,
is Six Prizes still around? Because I know the Top Cut is not, correct?
Yes, yeah, the Top Cut is no longer around. Six Prizes is. I mean, my personal opinion is, if your content's good enough, there should be no reason to hide that behind a paywall, because you're not bringing new people to your site. That would be like us charging for the podcast. Like, the podcast is our bread and butter, and we believe it's good, so we wouldn't hide that behind a paywall because we want that to reach people. But I mean, to each their own. I think they are doing the Six Prize exactly like Six Prizes. I believe it's $15 a month for these deck lists. I played Netrunner a lot, which was also a competitive TCG. I've never come across a site that did a paywall for deck lists. I've recently played Hearthstone, and maybe Travis can speak to this, but I have not found a Hearthstone site that hid articles behind a paywall.
There's one big Hearthstone website that does that. But the ones that do, they do have a few deck lists that they keep behind the paywall. It's tempostorm.com. Like 3/4 of their articles are for free or something like that. But most of the other big ones are not. Just the nice thing about that one is that that's one of the only websites that's actually designed well.
I always think that's like, I mean, Pokemon TCG is very competitive. But maybe it's cause I'm not into other competitive games, but I don't ever see that with other hobbies. It's like a TCG kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, maybe it's because TCG communities generally are going to be a very niche audience. And I guess that's not even true, because it's pretty... But because you're relying on people to start playing the game and then get into it competitively and then seek out deck lists and things, that you're probably not getting a very steady stream of new viewers. Like with our show, all we need is, you know, people like Pokemon. They want to hear more about it because we have such a wide scope in terms of what we talk about Pokemon. I imagine that we would have an easier time getting new people than they. So probably the only monetization strategy is to have people pay for the,
yeah, well, I think
the content that's already there. I don't know, I'm just speculating.
So in the past I wanted to see what my money was worth.
Sure.
So I paid $15 for a Six Prize like membership or whatever to get the deck list. And when I looked at the deck list, I was like, these are just slightly different deck lists from the free deck list I found just doing other searches.
Yeah.
And I would always just copy and paste those to the other people, like Kid and Vinny and Dom, like the people I was playing TCGs with. They were like, oh, you have access. Can we see the deck list? And I'm like, yeah, here they are, like copy and paste. And so like in my mind, if you have like 8 TCG sites and they're all hiding deck lists behind paywalls,
yeah,
of $15, no site is going to have a deck list that isn't known about or that is like unique enough, because when you go to a tournament, you can tell what decks people are running. You might not know every single card in that deck, but you know how the deck works. You know what the deck's weaknesses are.
Yeah.
So if you're the one site out of 8 that has the same exact deck list, but you're not charging, you're just going to get way more viewers and way more traffic. And that's better in the long run than a couple people throwing you $15 a month.
Yeah, I think it's kind of unrealistic to try and have secrets in the Pokemon TCG. Like, I don't think that that's something that can really happen at this point with where the internet is in terms of looking at decks and forums and stuff like that. Like, nobody's going to keep anything out of the public eye.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be, like, a huge rogue deck coming in and sweeping up everything that nobody knew anything about. Like, you're going to see little decks that less people play, but
yeah,
it's going to be mostly the meta that everyone's used to by that point.
Yeah, you're not getting anything you haven't already known if you're paying $15 a month, which is, from my experience at least, and that's just my knowledge going off to you, that, you know, instead of giving them $15 a month, you know, just give us $15 a month.
For nothing? We won't give you anything.
We'll just give you laughs and smiles. I mean, yeah. It's like a day and age where, you know, Kickstarters are there and stream donations are popular and Patreons are popping up. Everyone's trying to make money somehow. And later on this episode, we'll tell you about how you can donate to our Patreon.
Huh.
And no, seriously, we're doing a Patreon. We'll tell you later. But right now, what we'll do is we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back. We'll talk about some Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. And we'll be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by PIRN, the Pokemon Internet Radio Network, streaming music all day, every day, from the Pokemon games, anime, and more. In addition to music, they feature interviews with players, performers, and other people who help shape the Pokemon community. Each day has a new playlist, so you can keep coming back to find new things. To listen, visit their blog at pirnradio.blogspot.com. That again is pirnradio.blogspot.com. And we are back from our break. Talk to you about some Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire stuff. Mostly Dallas's thoughts on Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, since we all know that I dislike the game. And Travis also kind of dislikes it.
That's correct.
This is amazing Pokemon focused podcast. Dallas, how do you feel about Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire?
I'm split because, you know, I think it's just a lot of the things that you guys dislike about it. It's a couple steps back from where we were with X and Y, a little bit disappointed about how some things weren't as finely tuned as I would have liked them to be. And I just feel like so many things were done so right in X and Y, and we didn't really see them shine through in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. And I mean, I still love the game and I still played the heck out of it and I still do play it a lot, but yeah, I don't get as excited to play it as I did with X and Y.
Yeah. Now, did you,
if that makes any sense.
What was your relationship to the original Ruby and Sapphire? Did you like those games, and what's your relationship between how you like those compared to Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire?
Yeah, I got those right when they came out. Got a Game Boy Advance and a copy of Sapphire, and I was way into it and I loved it. I mean, that was still at the age where I didn't know how to play Pokemon, so you know, you're just running through the game with a level 80 Swampert and like a Swellow to fly around. Yeah, like that's exactly how I played all those games up until probably, I think X and Y was the, or no, Black 2, White 2 was the first game I actually played like kind of correctly. Like I didn't know how to play other than that. But yeah, I remember being super hyped about Ruby Sapphire, and you know, this one I was still really hyped about, and I still, you know, had huge spans of just playing it, and I found myself rushing through this game and not really taking my time with it like I did with X and Y. Like, I still haven't been everywhere on the map. Like, there's still grayed out spots on the map. I haven't gone and caught all the legendaries. Like, it's just stuff that I feel like didn't quite catch my interest as much as things did in X and Y. A lot of things changed with breeding also that I didn't really like. Well, not with the actual, like, mechanic of breeding. But, you know, in X and Y, I had it down to a science where I could crank out 5-6 IV Pokemon really easily. And in this one, I'm like, where do I go and jam a diamond to my DS to ride the bike around and hatch eggs? Like, I know you can do it, but it's still like, for me, it's a little harder. Maybe that's just because I'm not used to it yet. But I've gone back to X and Y to do some of my breeding because I just thought it was easier there.
Now, are you big on competitive battling? Or are you more of a collector or a trader, or Where do you kind of stand in that?
Competitive. I'm a competitive dude. I like the competitive battles, the battle spot stuff. Play on Showdown whenever I can, and pay attention to Smogon tiers as much as possible. Just because that's the standard that everyone battles on, pretty much.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't like. I mean, I can when I'm just battling with like a friend, I don't really care what they want to bring. But when it's somebody that like I met online that wants to battle, I'll do Smogon.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you prefer like singles or doubles?
I prefer singles. I'm trying to get into doubles, but I feel like doubles is I have not done a triple or a rotation battle lately. I would love to kind of go into triple battles and see if there's actually a competitive triple battle scene.
Yeah, I only do sky battles only.
I can't imagine.
No, I've been seeing a ton of free-for-alls getting popular, though.
What is a free-for-all?
Like,
yeah,
free-for-alls are double battles, but with four people and everybody just like attacks each other. And then there is a winner out of those four. And I've been seeing them a lot on YouTube, and they're real interesting.
Oh,
and
right.
People are actually like starting to make competitive free-for-all Pokemon that wouldn't have the same moves as in doubles or singles that just give them more coverage, but maybe less damage output or something.
Is this actually in the game, or is this like a Showdown thing?
This is like a Showdown thing. Or you can do it in the game. You just do a double battle and you can attack your partner and stuff.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, obviously it'll happen where like, you know, two people on the same side will be the last two standing. And then in that case, you go into a single battle 1v1 with the last Pokemon or something. Each person brings three to the match, and yeah, they're really neat to watch.
Huh. That actually sounds really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like it might be some Twitch Plays Pokemon kind of thing.
I would not be surprised if Twitch Plays Pokemon started doing some free-for-all battles.
Huh. That's really cool.
Of course, they'd have to figure out how to set up like four 3DS
yeah.
setups or something like that. But
well, that guy's rolling in the dough, so I'm sure
if somebody
presented a way to keep people watching, he'd jump right on that.
Oh, yeah, he's got it. Because, I mean, that's still a thing, right? I haven't been on there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Sorry, this is just going back a little bit, but I was just... Because I hadn't heard of free-for-alls before, but now my mind is thinking about that. And I'm sure that bulkier... set up Pokemon, like something maybe you're running Calm Mind or whatever, must be really good because there's going to be so many occasions where no one's going to be attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would be more likely to get those things off.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely happens. But then you got to also remember that, or like, because a lot of these videos that I watch are live commentary, right?
Right.
So it'll happen where somebody sets up a Calm Mind after not being attacked, and then everyone's like, whoa, hold up. We have a threat on the field. And it's just completely... And so you see these teams of, like, people, since there's no, like, tiering for it, people will bring, like, their Curums and Deoxys and stuff, and they'll just get completely destroyed because everyone sees them as the threat. Meanwhile, the Sigilyph is just sitting back and...
Huh.
Man, that sounds really cool now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a really... weird archetype that is still being like ironed out, but there are rules for it now. Like I think one of the rules is you can't have more than one Pokemon with recovery on your team.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what the rest of the rules are. I think like maybe only one choice item as well or something like that. I could be completely wrong about that one.
Now you're saying that Pokemon Showdown kind of has that built in, so it's more of a modified double battle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if it's actually live on Showdown. I've just seen people doing it on YouTube, and it's been done all through like 3DS capture is the things that I see. But I think that Showdown at least has a forum dedicated to it. I don't know if they have an actual play setup dedicated to it yet. I think that's in the works though.
Yeah. That would be a fun a fun sort of tournament we could set up, I feel like. And now I'm just putting work in Steve's lap, because God knows I'm not going to do this. I would certainly be able to, but I'm not going to put in the effort. But I don't know. That would be kind of a cool
fun. Oh, I would totally put in the effort for a free-for-all tournament. That sounds...
Yeah. I was like, this sounds awesome. I mean, if Steve can do it, then let's do it. I'll sit back here with an iced tea and my feet up. Yeah, that's something we could probably get started. I mean, if Showdown has that kind of built in, we could probably do like a mini tournament. Sure. And then just kind of run it all through Slack, because Slack's a real easy way to see who's online and post like the win loss ratio and stuff, and just kind of keep everything in one place, so it's easy for people to match and play.
Oh yeah, I'm loving the Slack thing right now.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That thing's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll get to that near the end of the show in our Patreon. That free for all battle, really, we didn't have much of a middle segment going in. But you really hit it out of the park with that that free battle. Now that would be something.
Yeah,
it was way more interesting than like rotation battle. That seems way more interesting than sky battles. Mm-hmm. That needs to go into the game.
Yeah, it's definitely, and also it's you're only bringing three Pokemon, so when you're selecting your Pokemon, you can see what everybody else can bring. So you have to, because there's always been that prediction of what's your opponent going to bring if you're playing in VGC or even just like triple battles on, or single battles on Battle Spot. So you really have to be thinking on your feet, and there are just so many options for what people can be bringing and can't be bringing. If any of you guys get a chance, I would definitely look up some FFAs on YouTube, because there are a ton of them.
So I'm guessing it's...
And they're pretty...
I'm guessing exciting. It's bring six, pick three. Is that what the format is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring six, pick three. And then you can see what what the person on your side brings, and that's just one aspect to it. Huh. But, you know, that doesn't really make too much of a difference. People don't really switch out too often.
Right.
Yeah.
In these things, it's just leave them in for as long as you can and see how much damage they can do. Bring something with Earthquake.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Huh. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really cool. Well, there's nothing else. We can move on to our item of the week.
Yeah, why not?
Cool. This week's item of the week, obviously brought to you by PokemonCenter.com. They don't sponsor us yet, but possibly one day in the future.
Nor will they ever. No.
This is the... Diadene, is that how we say it? Didene. N-A. I don't know how you get N-A. Denny's. Didene's Pokemon. Didene.
The Denny's Pokemon. I guess it could be Didene. Well, the two N's is what makes me lean towards Didene. Because if it was like D-E-D... E-N-E, I would be like, oh, Didene, because there's the two N's.
Well, since it was released in Kalos, it's probably Dedene to be more, you know, French, and Le Dedene.
Because shouldn't Vivillon be like Vivillon?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it is Vivillon. I don't watch the anime, so I don't know if they've said anything about that.
Gosh,
if they've tackled that one yet.
I thought one of the people in the anime actually had this Pokemon, but I could be wrong.
What's Clement's little sister's name?
Bonnie. She has a
Bobby
Dedene.
Doesn't she have one?
But I don't know about a Vivillon.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
This is the standard size 6.5-inch plush, $12.99. Usually ships in 24 hours. The little Dedene, with its antenna and antenna whiskers and red cheeks, available in high quality plush form. Made in China, of course, 1.15 American pounds, 4.5 inches wide, 6.5 inches tall, 4.5 inches long. Surface wash only. The features are bright, cheerful coloring. Standard plush size. from Pokemon X and Y generation.
Oh man, where's the guy that writes all the great ones?
It features being from X and Y.
Yeah, they must have recently got like a new bullet point guy because they've been
He's
really
not
slacking
any effort in at all. Might as well have said it's a Pokemon.
I mean, if I was to write features, I would probably say like huggable.
Yeah.
Can hang from tree.
Well, I would say something about you know, like the weird like twigs that come out of its electric cheeks, like the whiskers. Like, I don't know, because I feel like that's a really salient aspect of Dedenne's design.
Feature could be confused with Pikachu.
Yeah. Has a star tail. I mean, that's something.
Yeah, that's a good feature. Star-like tail.
As opposed to standard plush size.
Oh, man. Do we know why there's a Pikachu look-like in every generation? Has that ever been addressed?
Well, I think it's just supposed to be a bit of a callback, like, to for the fans who've been playing a long time, they can be like, oh, they can learn to expect, there's going to be a Pokemon whose design is reminiscent of Pikachu, so you can sort of enjoy that while it also doesn't put off newer players. Because if you didn't know what a Pikachu was and you saw this, you just, it's a cute electric Pokemon.
All right, can we name all of the Pikachu lookalikes from Gen 1 to Gen 6? The electric
ones. Yeah. So,
does Pichu even count?
Was there one
in
Gen 2?
Probably.
Or was that Pichu?
Yeah, I think that would be the only one.
Then you get...
All right, then what was it in Gen 3? Yeah.
That's Minun and Plusle.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Then Gen 4 is Pachirisu?
Yep.
Right. And then Gen 5 is Emolga.
Oh, yep. And then
we have Dedenne.
That wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I thought that would be like... I thought that would be up like a solid 6 minutes, but nope.
Give us a little credit here.
I like that this is your first time on the show and you are already very aware of the fact that we're constantly searching for ways to fill time.
You know what's funny is last week when we tried to do a quick show, it ended up being like 52 minutes.
Yeah.
So we definitely know how to talk.
Yeah.
Do you ever think that Pokemon, like, they're like, maybe this is the year where we can release a Pikachu lookalike that will finally overshadow Pikachu?
I wonder if that's what they're trying to do. Yeah. Just the ultimate Pikachu. It's so cute that Ash releases like, his in the anime.
Like one of the gets this like one of the art directors is so bitter that Pikachu got so popular that every year he just tries to make a better
one. Guy who made Clefairy who made all of these, and he's just still really jealous.
Just so upset. Now if you want to get your hands on one of these plushes, it has four reviews, all being 5 stars. I know recently we've reviewed some very mixed opinions in the past, but it looks like
consensus here.
Yeah, it looks like everyone's pretty on board with this guy. Travis, do you want to start off reading one?
Yeah, but I have, before we do, I have a strange note for this. All of these reviewers have, in parentheses, a little title or nickname, and that's new, right?
No, that's always been there.
We haven't seen
because Togepi Lover.
What?
Togepi Lover is Togepi Lover, parentheses Togepi Lover.
What? Yeah. What? This is new. I don't remember seeing this. All right, whatever. So first, the first review is titled "Very Soft." 5 out of 5 stars from Angela Phelps, the collector, who says, "This cute little Dedenne is very soft, pudgy, and squishy. I was lucky enough to get him at the Pokemon Center kiosk at the Northgate Mall in Seattle, Washington.
It's not that long.
So, oh, wow. This is a read complete review. I didn't realize. Actually, yeah. It adds like one word when I click that. At the Northgate Mall in Seattle, Washington, Dedenne has a very squeezable, round
jelly
bean body and is very cuddleable. Now, this person should be writing those bullet points.
I mean,
we got adjectives like jelly, squeezable. We have jelly bean body. And Angela Phelps should be hired by the Pokemon.
Jelly bean body is you know what it is when they when you hear it.
Yeah, no question.
You know what you're you know what you're getting
so
into.
It's so accurate.
Oh man.
We have 5 out of 5 Pokeballs. Very cute by Pudgy Cat, the Adventurer from Kalos. This plush is made of very soft, good quality material. The tail and whiskers are made of a different material, but this allows you to move the tail around. It's super cute and one of my favorites.
Huh.
Hmm. So I'm guessing there's like a rod in the tail that you can bend and stuff like that.
No, it doesn't look like it.
It just flops around.
Yeah.
What is this person? Of course you can move it around.
Maybe it's
just a floppy tail.
Maybe they're referring to the, maybe there's a different fuzz on the exterior of it. It almost looks that way.
It's like it's felt or something.
Dallas,
you want to read one or you want Travis to go?
Yeah, I'll read one. Okay, so This is titled 5 stars, one of my favorites, love it, from October 10th, 2014. The reviewer is Mijumaru fan or Poke fan.
What does it even mean?
I don't know.
Mijumaru is the Japanese name for Oshawott.
How did you know that? Oh my god, that is
My girlfriend has a plushie that's a Japanese plushie that of Oshawott that you click a button and it goes Miju.
Oh, okay,
all right, fair enough.
So I'm very keenly
you're off the hook.
I thought you were going to say that you know all of them in Japanese too, and I was going to be real impressed. But.
Oh gosh, I know Boober.
Okay,
isn't that Magmar?
This picture does not do this cutie justice. It's super soft and just plain out cute. I like its little tail. You can move it and twist it however you want, and Dedenne can even hold its tail like it's in the picture on its tag. Recommend this toy to any Dedenne lover, and this review was helpful to me. I need to make an account. I don't have an account. Oh no.
There you go. The last review's there, but it's a little boring. Once again, Pokemon Center added some new stuff. It looks like they added the you can buy the booster box to Roaring Skies for $143. Really overpriced.
Oh boy.
Really overpriced. You can usually get that off like Cool Stuff Inc. for like $90. So don't buy your TCG stuff at Pokemon Center.
Somebody should buy it from there and see if they get better pulls compared to one that you get off Amazon or Troll and Toad.
Whoa, stop the presses right now. There is a Mega Slowbro Pokeplush.
Ooh.
I'll link it in the Skype here. I'm sorry I cannot link it directly to you listeners, but is pretty fantastic. I think I have to order it by the end of the day. Oh my god, it's so cool.
It's got to be the item of the week for next week.
Oh, that's great.
Mega Slowbro is pretty amazing.
No reviews yet.
I like how in the pictures it's standing up. That's not going to happen for the listener. For those listening at home, you might recall that Mega Slowbro is in the shell there, sort of a Slowbro burrito. And so it as if it's standing on the point of its tail.
Oh my gosh.
Which is physically impossible. This is false advertising.
Oh my god. The real bullet point guy is back. He is back for Mega Slowbro.
Oh
good.
He was on the line.
Yes.
I'm like laughing too hard because they're like so good. All right, are we ready for these features?
Yeah, you might need to mute my microphone. So.
Mega Slowbro is a chill kind of Mega Pokemon. Some Mega Evolution Pokemon know when to hang.
Ready. Oh boy.
Mega Slowbro is ready to relax with you. A Pokemon Center original.
Okay.
Mega Slowbro is chilling.
Oh god, yes. God, yes.
Oh man.
This guy is back and better than Pokemon. Ever.
He's chilling. He knows how to hang and he knows how to relax.
Oh. Yeah.
They must have multiple writers because.
Or this guy was on vacation when they released Dedenne.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where was this person on the Dedenne plush? Like, they dropped the. Unless they have two and one is just really boring.
He's like, oh, it looks chill.
It seems like none of them have that.
Oh.
Much of a depth of knowledge about Pokemon. Because all of this information you can just get by looking at them, like standard plush size.
I know why he said all those things about chilling and relaxing. Because he doesn't know that much about Pokemon, and it's called Slowbro.
Oh.
That's gotta be it. This guy's like, okay, it's a bro. He's chilling.
I can't say this Pokemon would love to play beer pong with you. That would be a breach of protocol.
The product description is, some Pokemon are just naturally more relaxed and fun to hang out with than others. King of Chillaxin Heap is Mega Slowbro, the fusion of two Pokemon that has its own unique take on everything. This large Pokemon plush is neatly detailed and totally ready to hang out.
Oh, boy.
Take it slow, Mega Slowbro.
This is about to do exactly one thing about Slowbro. That is that bro is in his name. And he just ran with it.
That it's actually two Pokemon in a symbiotic relationship. Like, that's a bit of a deep cut, so I might have to take back what I said before.
Yeah, I mean, he was real close to writing Shellder in there. Like, he definitely looked at a Pokedex entry.
Yeah.
And then went back to focusing on Bro.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to order this Pokemon. And I'm real excited to see what the reviews are because it definitely can't stand. Like, it's definitely always going to be laying down.
Yeah. Does not stand.
No.
All right.
Sits well.
Enough of chillax, and let's move on to our Pokemon of the week here. Dallas's favorite Pokemon, also one of my favorite Pokemon, is Chandelure, which is our Pokemon of the week.
You hear?
For those of you that don't know, Chandelure evolves from Lampent when exposed to a Dusk Stone. It is the final form of Litwick. Pokedex number 609 kind of goes with us being 169. Look at that.
There you go.
Unintentional matching.
Oh, dang.
And Chandelure is the luring Pokemon. I'm going to read the... read the biology here as Travis and Dallas come up with a competitive move set for our Chandelure battlers. Chandelure is a Pokemon that resembles a chandelier. It has a striped round head and round pupil-less yellow eyes. There's a ring of small black spikes on the top of its head with a tall purple flame in the middle. From the black spikes below its head, black arms curl upwards. These arms are tipped with purple fire. Chandelure's fire do not burn its victims physically. Instead, it burns their spirits. After hypnotizing its opponents by these waves of flames, it absorbs the victim's spirit. That's more than we bargained for, really.
God, it's so metal.
So, Steve, I got a question for you about Chandelure. Did you play with one in X and Y?
No. But I did have one in black and white 2.
Okay. Cuz my question was going to be, if you played with one in X and Y, how did you get the Dusk Stone?
So you've been talking to me too much. You're
the Duck Stone.
Messing up your words. Yeah, I didn't have one. I didn't have one in X and Y, but I had one in Black and White.
Okay.
And then I had one again in Black and White 2. So the current Chandelure I have is in my Pokemon bank from X and Y.
Nice. Yeah, the Duskstone was so hard to get in X and Y for me. Like until post game, I think you had to do like super training challenges something.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, it was horrible. And I got real lucky where I got it like on my first try, but I remember that was just for my in-game one, and then I tried to make a competitive one. And I had to do that for like at least 2 days, just like keep doing this hard super training thing with Aegislash.
Oh, that's the worst.
I don't know.
It was a drag.
I don't know anyone that loves super training.
Oh no, because it's not fun. It's really.
I like that it's in there because it gives people an easier look at how EVs work without having to look it up on some fan site. And I like that there's an easier, again, not easier, but more visible way to EV train your Pokemon. But I would never do it because it seems so inefficient and so tedious. Yeah,
I think I did it to EV train a Pokemon once, and it took so long, and I was like, okay. That was fun for a minute, but I don't like soccer that much, and I don't want it in my Pokemon games. I don't want my Pokemon games to make me think about running.
That's what the bike is for.
Travis, do you have a good move set here?
I like the Choice Scarf move set that's on Smogon for singles. They recommend Fire Blast, Shadow Ball, Energy Ball, and then Trick. Trick is really great because you can swap that Choice Scarf and lock someone into something. And then Energy Ball is great for coverage of a lot of the things you're weak to. It's going to be ground types and water types. And since there are so many water, ground, bulky Pokemon, it's nice to be able to have something that can hit that for times 4 damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fire Blast and Shadow Ball, just good stab options. If you're playing in doubles, very important to include Heat Wave as opposed to that Fire Blast. Heat Wave being a Fire-type move that can... Fire-type special attack that can hit both of your opponents. Perhaps some other movesets to consider if you're not looking at Choice Scarf. You could do something with Calm Mind as well. I believe Chandelure gets Calm Mind, right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything else, Dallas?
What would you say for the ability? Because, you know, I do use one competitively a lot, and I use that Choice Scarf set, except I usually replace Trick with Psychic or something, because a lot of fighting-type Pokemon will have a knockoff that I'll be scared of or something like that. And then I prefer running Flamethrower, just because I hate missing stuff. But I'm always torn on whether or not I run Flash Fire or Flame Body. And I decided on Flame Body just because that burn is nice to get. But then again, Flash Fire gives it another complete immunity, which it's always nice to have those.
Maybe it's best to explain how those work. So Flame Body has a 30% chance to burn when your opponent uses a move that makes contact. And that includes most physical attacks and some special attacks. An example of a special attack that makes contact would be something like Zen Headbutt.
Mm-hmm.
An example of a physical move that doesn't, I think Earthquake does not make contact. But you can sort of get, if it has Punch in the name, it'll make contact. But most physical moves do. And then Flash Fire will increase the so when a fire type move is used against Chandelure, it increases the effectiveness of fire type moves used by Chandelure and negates all the damage from that move. I like Flash Fire better, but then again, that's also contingent on what the rest of your team is going to be. If you really need some
Yeah.
If you have it, you know, it might be great to have something with a 4x fire weakness so that, you know, if you have a Sizer on your team, for example, and you can just feel that flamethrower coming and you can swap out to the Chandelure and get a huge swing in your favor with that switch.
That's actually exactly what I do with Sizor and Ferrothorn, and also even just for physical attackers, since Rotom is everywhere, switch him in on Will-O-Wisps and he just eats him up. He also does have a hidden ability, which is Infiltrator. Do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah. Is that the one that hits through Substitute?
Yeah.
It ignores...
Or is that the one that has to do with critical hits?
Ignores Reflect, it hits through Substitute, and Mist.
And
then in Generation 6, it then bypasses the Substitute.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
As well as does those.
And that's a good ability, too, but I don't think it's as good as Flash Fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's really situational. So the only... I do have one more set that I've been working with, and it's pretty much similar to the Choice Scarf, but if you look at his stats, its defenses are both 90, which isn't that bad. So if you run a positive special defense nature and a minus attack, and I forget what nature that is... I believe that's bold. I have no idea. I forget.
I don't
but
know by heart.
Slap an assault vest on him.
Oh, that would be nice.
Slap an assault vest on him. Yeah, and he can actually eat up hits. Something that would be good for a free for all, because he could. Because if he's choiced, which is pretty much the best way to run Chandelure in a competitive 6v6, he's locked into a move. But with an assault vest and with how diverse his special move pool is, you could really play on a lot of different weaknesses that may or may not be on the field right there and eat up special hits.
Yeah.
That seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you get a shiny Chandelure, he is red instead of purple. His flames are red. No other Pokemon has the same type combination as Chandelure in its evolutionary line. In Generation 5, Chandelure and its evolutionary relatives had Shadow Tag instead of Infiltrator. But that has been changed since then. And Chandelure has the highest special attack of all non-legendary, non-mega fire-type Pokemon.
There's a lot of qualifiers on there. Non-legendary, non-mega fire-type Pokemon. It reminds me, on the Wikipedia page for my hometown, that where I'm living now, but where I grew up, it says... that the city is the largest city on Lake Michigan's East Coast. The largest city at the exact coordinates of.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. It stops being that impressive when you add all those qualifiers.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Well, that's all we got for Chandelure here. He's a good Pokemon, he or she.
Oh yeah.
To kind of wrap up the show here, we are launching a Patreon tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on Monday, Monday, May 11th, and the Patreon is just to support the show even further. We did a Kickstarter about almost 6 months ago now, and we use that money to back pay for servers and also future pay for servers and shirts and new equipment and new software. And now we kind of want to keep the quality and the format going. So we're doing a Patreon. If you don't know how Patreon works, it's actually really simple. It's like Kickstarter, where you pick a reward tier to pledge for, and then that's reoccurring every month. So, well, we have really basic tiers. There's a $1 tier, there's a $5 tier, and there's a $12 tier. So if you do the $1 tier, it's going to be at $1 every month until you decide to cancel it. So if you keep it for a full year, you're giving us $12. Actually, you're probably giving us $9 because I think Patreon takes like 30% or something at the end. It doesn't even matter. Pretty much $12 to support us for the year is really kind of like the minimum. And unlike
actually, the minimum is nothing because you don't have to do anything.
Right, you don't have to do anything. The show will always happen every week. It will always be free. This is just if you want to support us in some way, you're more than welcome to. Everyone who pledges will get access to our Slack channel. We have a community of about 30 people there right now, and hopefully that'll grow. So that'll be a very easy way to set up trades or set up battles or help with breeding or make jokes or. Even it's a really easy way to annoy Travis if you want to reach him instantly. I mean, he's there. It's great. The $5 reward tier will get you access to the Slack. It'll also get you some stickers every 3 months. We'll get a sticker pack from us, and then you know, the tiers go up from there.
Ooh.
And so yeah, it's just an easy way to support us. And if you never use Patreon, there's also an allowance system. So let's say you want to do the $5 reward tier, but you don't want to go over like $20. You set a limit of $20, and once you hit 4 months, which would be $5 a month, and you hit the $20, it automatically stops. So you never have to worry about like getting charged or forgetting to cancel or anything. That's all set up. Patreon makes it very easy. Or we're not here to try to steal anyone's money or anything like that. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But if you do support us, we want to give you stuff in return. And so, with a little bit of extra money, we can do more giveaways, we can do more contests, we can take some time and set up tournaments and do some stuff on Twitch. So you're just giving us a little bit of money so we can give you more content back.
Yeah.
I think that was a good explanation.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that should start tomorrow. And then if you have any questions, just tweet at me. But yeah, that's that. I'm pretty much doing my salesman speech here. Travis, where can they find you?
Yeah, twitter.com/thetravisw. Or if you want to look at my photography, that's thetravisw.tumblr.com. 500px.com/thetravisw or flickr.com/thetravisw.
Awesome. Dallas, if you want to be found, where can they find you?
I can be found on Twitter at twitter.com/DallasTheDeals, and that's DallasTheDeals. On YouTube, I have a channel, youtube.com/DallasTheDeal. I do some Pokemon stuff, TCG, TCG Online, and Nuzlocke and whatnot. And Tumblr, I am at Freudian Swoop. That's FreudianSwoop.tumblr.com. Those are I've completely got lost in my thought after I tried to spell that URL. That's where I'll be.
Those are where they can find you.
That's where I can be found.
Awesome. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Dragging A Lake. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. We're also on Facebook and YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud. If for any reason you have trouble ever getting an episode or whatnot, the episodes go to SoundCloud first. So soundcloud.com/pkmncast. And then from SoundCloud, that's how they get sent to iTunes and Stitcher and everything like that. That we moved everything to SoundCloud for tracking purposes and statistic purposes. Other than that, if you want to, you can also follow us on SoundCloud and you can comment on episodes there or do the little heart thing or reblog it. You know, that's totally up to you. If you haven't done so already, please leave us a review in iTunes. We're trying to get to 500 iTunes reviews by the end of the year. And I think we're at like 441 or 443 or something like that. So we're almost there. So if you can take just a couple seconds and leave us a review in iTunes, that would be super appreciated. That helps other people find the show. So just by you leaving us a review, boost our ratings in iTunes, and then other people can find the show easier. So it only takes a second to do that. Otherwise, I appreciate you both being on, and I appreciate the listeners for listening, if they've made it this far. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.